Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we are in verse 18 and following. This is God's Word. "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Isn't it wonderful to go to church knowing that there's going to be a lot of fun, lighthearted stuff, and that you're going to leave just feeling so exhilarated, "I'm so glad I came, I feel so much better now"? Not this morning. But if you set what we just heard in the context properly, then it isn't so discouraging. Because Paul, in the previous verses, has just said that this whole thing is going to be about the good news. But you can't appreciate the good news unless you know the bad news. I'm not a good swimmer. I've never been a good swimmer. I didn't get to start learning to swim until I was 9 years old, and I had a week to learn to swim. I learned the dead man float, and then I learned a little bit, and then it was time to go home from camp. Okay? Say, "Well, you're not a very quick learner, are you?" Well, no, not in the water, I'm not. I'm more of a land animal. And then We moved to Montreat the summer I turned 12, and I got involved in Boy Scouts. And in Boy Scouts, we didn't have a pool. Lake Susan was so cold, it was like swimming in ice water. And so, again, I would get in and splash around sometimes, but not if I didn't have to. And then the Boy Scouts got a pool that was available to us, and I started going to that pool and learning how to swim for real. Didn't have anybody teaching me, just the water and me trying to imitate what I was seeing and look in the Boy Scout manual and so forth. And not the best way to learn, but I learned enough to get the rank that required me to be able to swim, okay? I got my swimming, I don't think it was a merit badge, maybe it was. The only merit really for me was perseverance. That it should have been a perseverance badge, not a swimming badge. But I hung in there, I did that, and then the summer I turned 16, I went off to camp, this time as a counselor and as the chaplain of the camp. But one of the requirements to work there was that you had to have at least the Red Cross Junior Life Saving. So now a guy who's not a very good swimmer has to learn how to save lives. Pity the poor person who would be depending on me. But I did learn it. I did pass it. And one of the first things we had to learn in life saving from the Red Cross back in 1970 was how to disable the person you're trying to save. Really, that surprised me. But that was one of the first things they taught us. And the reason is because if somebody really is drowning, there's a real possibility that in their panic, they'll pull you under. And in order for you to rescue them, you may have to render them unconscious. You have to be able to disable the person in order to save them. That's what Paul's doing in these verses. Paul is going to spend this whole book exalting the righteousness of God in the context of the good news. He says in the verses we looked at last time, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." It's good news. It's really good news. But if you think you're okay, you're not going to accept it. If you think you're doing fine, you know, I know I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Actually, yes, God is perfect. And that's why if salvation is just about life improvement, you know, I can give you tips. But it's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. This ship's going down. You understand? And so if all you're getting is advice about how to have a happier, more productive life in this world, and the real heart issue of being reconciled to God is not being addressed, you're not really being helped, okay? I would like for all of you to have a really fun time on your way to hell. I hope you'd run out of the room. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be forgiven for your sins and given a brand new life, where God himself, the creator of the universe, is your father, and he loves you, and he comes to live through you with the resurrection power of Jesus. Wow. Sounds a whole lot better than tips. Yeah, it's a brand new life. It's abundant life. It's eternal life. And that's what this is about. But in order for us to get there, we've got to get honest about what's going on. The reason Jesus died is because that was the only way that you and I could be saved. Well, I mean, are we really that bad off? Yes, we're that bad off. Our problem is that serious. We've sinned that badly. And if we look at what's described here, Paul does something that's just genius because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. First of all, he shows us that people know better. People know better than to do what they do. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. It's not who are ignorant of the truth. They suppress the truth. Now, they don't know everything there is to know, but they know enough to say, I don't want that. I don't want to know that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about that. And so they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, how far back is this problem? Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. You can't possibly be honest and look at the universe and think, wow, what a neat accident. The evidence of design is everywhere. And the only reason people don't believe in God is because they don't want to. If there's a God, I better find out who he is and what he wants. I don't think I want to do that. Why not? Because the human heart is wicked. In John chapter 3, we love verse 16, don't we? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. That's good. But let me read you a couple other verses. Verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. That's God's word. That's even the red letter stuff. So, Paul says, let me tell you what it looks like. The wrath of God is coming on people because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They know better, but they suppress the truth. And so, although they knew God, verse 21, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, the sin of ingratitude. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. If that is not a description of modern society, I don't know what is. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And what happened? They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. See, the problem is, you're going to worship something. We were designed to be worshipers. But if you don't want to worship the God who is God and serve the God who is God, you will end up worshiping and serving something that's less than God as God. Something else will be substituted. In 12-step programs, one of the things that they teach you is that you better be careful because a lot of folks exchange this addiction for this addiction or maybe this addiction. And maybe you'll say, I've got to get rid of all those addictions. But then you end up with this addiction. Why? Because all of us are designed to be devoted to something and to serve it. Is there a solution? Is there hope? Yes, there is, because there is one who is greater. There is one who is the true God, the creator of all things. And amazingly, he welcomes all who come to him in repentance and faith. That's just astounding. This is the infinite, almighty, all-knowing God who created the universe out of nothing. He didn't make it out of the stuff that was available on hand. There was nothing. There was nothing. He spoke the universe into being. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Why? Because God said so, and he's in charge of the universe. I love this God. I don't want to run from him anymore. I am so grateful that he came after me, won my heart, and now I keep wanting to run to him. I want to get closer. I want to know him more. So, you will serve something. But the problem with the human condition is that people choose to serve something that's created instead of the creator. And what does it look like? If you pay any attention at all to what's going on, don't you feel like there's a lot of sin happening in the world? There's more violence and murder happening than there was last year. And last year was an increase. I mean, it's really bad. And all kinds of sexual immorality. Paul's going to describe a bunch of it here. And the abortion, it's just horrific. If you think, wow, with all the bad stuff that's happening, God's wrath is sure to be shown. No. You have misread this passage. Paul describes all this sin as a display of God's wrath. We think of these things happening and say, well, God's going to punish that. The fact that they're happening is God's wrath. Because what does it say about God and his wrath in this passage? Therefore, verse 24, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over. Verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. What is it saying? It's saying God's wrath is displayed when God says to sinful man, have it your way. We talk about all the people who died from COVID. Tragic. I know some of the people who died from COVID. But that's not nearly as many as died from abortion. If a virus had killed as many kids as died from abortion, do you think that the government would then declare that this is a national health crisis? It's not just the U.S. There are many countries where abortion is the dominant method of birth control. Last I checked, that's still not the case in this country. It's just kind of a fallback plan in this country. This is God, according to his word, letting sinful people do their thing. That's what his wrath looks like. Have it your way. And so Paul describes all these wretched things people do, moving from worshiping the creation to sexual immorality to more perverse sexual immorality by both men and women. And then he gives a laundry list starting in verse 28. And don't miss this, because again, Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit doing something that is brilliant. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed. Oh, he had to put that in there? Yeah. How serious a problem is greed? That's one of the horrible evidences of a depraved mind and depravity. They are full of envy. Ooh, I don't like people like that. Murder. Ooh. Strife. Well, strife. My family's always kind of had that problem. Deceit. Well, sometimes you have to kind of shade the truth. And malice. Well, that's when you're wanting bad things to happen to others, and I'm opposed to that. They are gossips. Is that in the list? Yeah, that's in the list. It's one of these horrible things that's right in there with murder. Gossips. Slanderers. God haters. Well, I'm not a God hater. Well, you are if you're a gossip or a slanderer. Really? Insolent. Arrogant and boastful. Isn't saying we're number one okay? We are the champions. I mean, that's just the American way of life. Yeah, it's sinful. You see, if you're a Christian, you're singing Amazing Grace. But if you want to be number one, I mean, if you want to get to the top, if you want to look out for number one, well, if you want to look out for number one, you better figure out who's number one. So am I supposed to go around with this mealy mouth? I'm just a worm. I don't even deserve to draw breath. The world be better off. I don't think so. No. You need to get your eyes off yourself and start looking at him and saying, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You're beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite goodness? That's what we do. We worship him because he alone is worthy. But Paul sprinkles in the midst of this laundry list of despised sins, he sprinkles in these things like gossip and slander, envy, greed, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Now get ready, buckle your seatbelt, because he's about to name one that's really... They disobey their parents. I actually had children who did that. I actually was a child who did that. All of us have done that! Right? Even my grandkids do that, precious though they may be. What's the point we're getting toward? He's going to say it over in chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In chapter 2, which we'll look at, God willing, next time, he says, you are in no position to be dumping on other people. You judge other folks, but you're guilty of the same stuff yourself. Well, I've never done that. Yeah, but you've done that. Well, yeah, I have done that. That's the point. Paul is building this case to show us our hopelessness apart from God saving us. If it's up to us to save ourselves, we're all going to hell. But it's not up to us to save ourselves. That's the good news. God has provided salvation in Christ Jesus. And so there is a righteousness of God that comes from God. And that is what this book is about. How to be made righteous in God's sight through Jesus Christ. So don't be discouraged. Realize there's a solution. There's a Savior. There is a balm in Gilead. What an amazing, amazing Savior we have. That he would save people like us. Arrogant, boastful, selfish, greedy, deceitful people like us. Who even disobeyed our parents. Even people like us. God came to save sinners.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wheresvalleyranch.org.